Let me invite you to turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And as you are finding that there, either in the Bible in front of you or on your handheld device, whatever works for you, I'd like to ask you to also just pray with me right now. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are Emmanuel, God with us, not one God who is distant from us, disconnected and otherwise disinterested. We thank you that you are with us and you love us, and you proved this most chiefly at the cross of your only begotten Son, Jesus, and at that tomb where he rose from the dead. How we thank you for Jesus, and we worship you. We give you all praise because of Jesus. And Jesus, we honor you. We lift you high and exalted in our praises, in our thinking, in our hearts, in our lives, and everything that we're about. Father, we pray you would fill us with the Holy Spirit. And may he move in our midst and knit our hearts together and point us to so great a Savior as Jesus. May it be, O God of heaven, that you would have your way with us here today. And may it be, O God of heaven, that we would leave here a different people than when we arrived. A people not just taught about what it is to prepare for Christmas and to prepare for Christ, but a people who are changed because of your word and the movement of your spirit, so that when we leave here and we head out, we are closer to Jesus, we love him more, and we love those around us more. And God of heaven, we live for you with joy and peace in a much more robust way. But we can only do that through your power, so help us, direct us, lead us, and let us move toward you. And all of God's people said together, amen, amen. I have a question for you. How do you prepare for Christmas? How do you prepare for Christmas? What does it look like for you to prepare for what's coming? Now, on November the 17th, so just a couple weeks ago, Krista and I, for the first time, as best I can tell, in nearly 29 years of marriage, Krista and I put up our Christmas tree that early, November 17th. This is early. Now, some of you may say, oh, that's late, Pastor. You have no idea. But this is early for us, November 17th. Now, when we put this up, and by the way, we did because our life group was coming the next night to our home, and we're thinking, well, why not? Let's just go ahead and decorate. So we got it all out, pulled out the boxes, got the trees set up, put the lights where they needed to be, hung the wreaths, all the stuff, the candles, everything you can imagine that is just part of the normal routine of getting ready for Christmas, getting the house ready. We have some traditions that go with it. Krista makes these exquisite homemade sugar cookies, star-shaped sugar cookies with this homemade glaze that goes on them. They're incredible. They're so good. I want one right now. They're so good. We also watch Elf. All right. I said this in the first gathering. Somebody came up to me and they said, quote, that is the stupidest movie in the world. Yes, it is. Absolutely. For sure. For sure. I break open the bottle of eggnog. I'm the only one in the house that drinks it, so I get the whole thing to myself. It's really great. And this is how we get ready. We start preparing for Christmas. Some of you, how do you prepare for Christmas? Is it a long list of people to whom you're going to send a Christmas card? Is it the parties and gatherings, both work and with friends or family, that you have to dissect and figure out which ones you can go to, should go to, must go to, all those things? Which ones you might say no to? Is it preparing no end of food, cookies and brownies and cakes and pies and all kinds of other items that are just so wonderful this time of year? Is it setting the Spotify so that your favorite Christmas songs are played and you can weed out the ones that annoy you? Which one do you do? How do you prepare for Christmas? We can go on and on with a long list of ways any of us might prepare for Christmas. But what I want to do is talk here today about a deeper kind of Christmas preparation, a better kind of Christmas preparation, a richer, more treasured kind of Christmas preparation. a Christmas preparation that is centuries in the making. Now, to do that, let me just highlight a couple of items here. One is, we're in the midst of a brief seasonal series called Christmas Stories. Last weekend, our beloved pastor, Pablo Cachon, shared Isaiah's Christmas story. Isaiah's Christmas story. Next weekend, Lord willing, in the midst of our Christmas concert, you're going to hear the Apostle Matthew's version of the Christmas story. And then, Lord willing, the week after that, you and I will hear from the Apostle John's version of the Christmas story, the Apostle John's. Today, what we want to do is hear from a prophet, John the Baptist, his Christmas story. And we'll do that here in just a moment. The other thing I want to highlight for you is in the seat in front of you are notepads. So you please write down anything you want with regard to the sermon. Take notes. That's available for you week to week to week so that any of you can do that. Is that helpful, Heidi? There we go. So take notes. Use that for whatever works for you. Now, back to John the Baptist. John the Baptist. What I want to do is pick up his story actually before he's born. And to do that, we step into the great temple in Jerusalem on a certain late afternoon. And there is a man there named Zechariah, and he is a priest of the Most High God. And he's one of thousands of priests that service the temple. And he drew a lot for the privilege of putting the incense on the incense altar inside of the temple. Now, something that you and I may not know is that this is maybe a once in a lifetime opportunity for one of the priests. There are so many priests and only so many days. And to be able to go in and put incense on this altar is maybe a once in a lifetime opportunity. Luke chapter 1, look with me, verse 8. Luke chapter 1, verse 8 and following. Our goal here is to discern how we might be prepared for Christmas. Here's what we read. Now, while Zechariah was serving as priest before God when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to Zechariah an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." Now let me pause for a moment. In the verses that we've not read prior to this, the first few verses of Luke chapter 1, we're introduced to Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. And what we discover is that they are a couple that's well advanced in years. They're a godly couple. They are blameless before the Lord. Not perfect, but they're a godly couple. And they have never been able to have children. And so it has been their prayer throughout their lives together that God would provide them a child. So that's why here the angel says to Zechariah, "Your prayers have been heard, and your wife is going to have a son, and you shall call his name John." Now, verse 14. "And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb." Now, verse 16 and verse 17 is where I really wanted to land here. "He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before the Lord God in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." Now, I want you to highlight that word prepared. circle it in your Bible or yellow it out there on your handheld, whatever works for you. Remember, our goal here is to wrestle with how we might be prepared for Christmas. And right away, we see this theme of preparation. It's the very last word in the verses I just read. Friends, this is a prophecy that was given to Zechariah by an angel named Gabriel. Months pass. Several months pass. And lo and behold, the time comes when Elizabeth gives birth to her son. John is born. And there is great rejoicing in the household of Zechariah. And you can imagine that on a certain day, shortly after John is born, Zechariah and Elizabeth, well, of course, they're going to host friends and family to come into their home to celebrate this. So they gather together, and there's all kinds of rejoicing. And I happen to think, based on what I read in Luke chapter 1, that Zechariah, the very proud father, has taken his little boy John up in his arms, and he's dancing and swinging around the room, and he's singing this song that we see. And I want you to notice it, the tail end of Luke chapter 1, verse 76 and following. Zechariah is singing with his newborn son, celebrating what God has done among family and friends there. Zechariah says, Luke chapter 1, verse 76 and following, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And verse 80 gives us a bit of a note here. "The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance in Israel." So yet again, we see the theme of preparation. The angel says to Zechariah, he's going to make for a people prepared. Zechariah is now singing, "You are here to prepare the way of the Lord." Well, and as verse 80 suggests, the time does unfold. And little John becomes of age. And now he is a grown man, and he steps out from his pilgrimage in the wilderness, and he steps into a public ministry. And he calls all the people to turn to God. He directs them to God. And according to Luke chapter 3, verse 2 and following, we read these words. Luke chapter 3, verse 2 and following. "During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight." Prepare, 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 prepare. If John the Baptist had a heaven-sent mission, it is to prepare people for the coming of the Lord. And so then it makes sense, if we wrestle with how might we be prepared for Christmas, that we listen to John the Baptist's Christmas story. How might we be prepared for Christmas? A better question might be, how might we be prepared for the Christ of Christmas? And John the Baptist helps us here, because he is one who has been called to help the people be prepared. Prepare, 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 prepare. We see it in these passages just read. The question then becomes, if John the Baptist has this heavenly mission to prepare a people for the arrival of the Messiah, Jesus, the Savior, if he has a mission to prepare them, how will he do it? What will he say? What might he do? What will he direct? How will he prepare, 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 prepare? Now, like a beautiful golden thread in a Christmas tapestry, we see in that initial passage that I read, Luke 1, verses 16 and 17, this golden thread of prophecy that merits your attention and mine. And so let's look back at those two verses. Luke 1, verse 16 and 17. Here we are back in the temple where the angel is speaking to Zechariah. Verse 16, the angel says, "Your son will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before the Lord God in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers, ... You can read the rest. But notice in the middle of that, John the Baptist is going to do these things in the spirit and power of some man named Elijah. Now, who's Elijah? Some of you may know this. Others of you here may have never heard of Elijah before. That's okay. Let me introduce him to you. He is one of the great prophets in the history of the Jewish people. His story is primarily told in the Old Testament in a book called 1 Kings. 1 Kings, chapters 17, 18, and 19. These three chapters primarily unpack the story of a great prophet named Elijah. And what the angel Gabriel has said to Zechariah there in the temple, your boy, he's going to be like that prophet Elijah of old. That's a big statement right there. Because again, Elijah is one of the greats of the prophets. It's fascinating. He really only has these three chapters of primary emphasis in the Old Testament. And yet, he stands so tall among all the other prophets of Israel. If you have your Bible in front of you there, you might turn with me to the Old Testament, to 1 Kings chapter 18. Chapter 17 introduces Israel to Elijah. Chapter 19 of 1 Kings gives us a very intimate portrait of Elijah as he is wrestling with the pain of ministry. Chapter 18 tells us one of the most significant moments in Israel's history, a dramatic moment, a confrontation. Some of you have heard it. I'll share with you briefly what it is. But first, look with me in verse 21 of 1 Kings chapter 18. Verse 21 finds Elijah confronting the people of Israel. He says to them, "How long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people did not answer him a word. They were quiet. They were hard. They did not want to hear what he had to say. Now, you may say, who's Baal? What is that? Well, what the people had done is they've stepped away from their allegiance to the Most High God, to the true God. And they have bowed their knee to these pagan idols that surround them. These pagan idols that are popular among the nations that surround them. One of the most prominent of those idols is a little g god named Baal. The people were worshiping this idol. They'd walked away from God. And so God raised up Elijah to go and call the people to return to the Lord. Well, to unpack this, Elijah decided to confront the prophets of Baal in dramatic fashion. Elijah had some flair about him. He invited the prophets to show up at this particular spot there in the land. And he said to the people that gathered and the prophets of Baal that were there, he said, "Build an altar and then call down, if your God is real, call down fire from him to burn up your altar to prove he is real." And so the prophets of Baal agree to do this. And so they start building this altar there on the plains in front of the people. And all day long, they dance around the altar. They offer up these incantations trying to appeal to Baal, begging Baal for fire to come, to light up what is on the altar, the offering. And you know, this goes on for hours. Nothing happens. The people are getting bored. The people are beginning to check out. Elijah is looking onward, and you get this sense that he's getting weary. And finally, he starts to mock them. "Oh, your God must be asleep. Baal must be doing some personal business somewhere. He might be off somewhere musing over other things, not paying attention to you," and on and on. And finally, after hours of nothing happening, Elijah just says, "Enough, enough." And then he says, now come build an altar for me. And he has these people come and they set up this altar. And Elijah says, now pour water over it. And they do. And then he says, pour more water over it. And they do. And there is this now this altar that Elijah has had built. And Elijah begins to pray. And he calls out to Yahweh, the one true God. And bam, fire falls from the sky and just eats up the whole altar, licks up the water. It's all gone. And according to 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 39, when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And from that moment on, there was a great revival, if you will, among the people of Israel. To set up that moment, though, we see Elijah offering a prayer that is very important here. Verse 37, here's the prayer. Elijah says to God, answer me, O Lord, answer me, that these people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. And can I invite you to highlight that word turn? Because God had raised up Elijah to turn the hearts of the people back to God. Now, friends, listen to me. Centuries unfold. Centuries pass by. And then we come to another prophet. One who's not particularly well known. And yet his book is the last book that we see in our English Bibles of the Old Testament. The book of Malachi. We come to a prophet named Malachi. You might turn there with me if you would. Malachi. Malachi chapter 3 and Malachi chapter 4 put forward a remarkable prophecy. God speaks through his servant Malachi, and Malachi records it in these words. Malachi chapter 3 verse 1 finds God saying, and understand this is hundreds of years after Elijah's ministry. God says, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Notice the theme of preparation. Then we go over to the next chapter, Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. And we read this. Behold, God says through Malachi, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land. And you can read the rest. But notice the theme here. One is preparation. Chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to send one who will prepare the people. And then he describes what that one is going to do to prepare the people. He will turn the hearts of the people. And so we see this theme of turning, turning, turning. Now, let's go back for a third time to Luke chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Right back yet again into the temple, where you have the angel Gabriel talking to a very frightened Zechariah. Right back there into the temple, verses 16 and verse 17. Now let's look at it this way. And the angel says, your son will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. So, therefore, the angel says to Zechariah, you're going to have a son. And he's going to have a ministry like Elijah. What was Elijah's ministry? To turn the people to God. In fact, a later prophet named Malachi would prophesy about this, that there's going to come this one, this messenger, whose task is to prepare the way of the coming Lord. And the way he will do that is by turning the hearts of the people to God. And he will do so in the spirit and power of Elijah. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, when asked, he says, yes, John the Baptist is the Elijah of whom the prophets spoke. And so John the Baptist comes in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the people to God so that they may be prepared for the coming of the Lord. So this is John the Baptist's Christmas story. His mission is to prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. Or if we frame it in our context today, looking back at what was going on then, to prepare the people for Christmas, the arrival of the Christ. Or if we push it more particularly, to prepare the people for Jesus Christ. And how would he do that? Turn. I'm reminded of that song from that new rock band, The Birds, in 1965. Turn. To everything, turn. There is a season, turn. And to every time, for every purpose under the heavens, they wrote and sang. And some of you have sung many times, I'm sure. Turn. This is the Christmas story of John the Baptist. And you know, friend, according to Matthew chapter 3, we see John the Baptist take this message with such boldness to the people. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And friend, that word repent is a synonym for the word turn. That word repent means to turn from sin to a Savior, to turn from my wickedness to the wondrous God who makes all things new, to turn from lesser things to the greater things that are given to us through Jesus Christ. To repent is to turn away from the things that fall short of the glory of God to the God of great glory. That is repentance. That is turning. The Christmas story of John the Baptist is turn, return, repent. And that's how you become prepared for Christ, for his arrival. Therefore, that's the best way to be prepared for Christmas. The story of John the Baptist, the Christmas story, is you turn to God and God meets you with Jesus Christ, his son. There are all kinds of things that you and I side with this time of year. Things that we side with. We pick sides this time of year. So for example, some of you open your presents on Christmas Eve, and then others of you do it like Jesus did and open it on Christmas morning. So you just pick a side. Some of you like ugly Christmas sweaters. Others of you like beautiful, sophisticated sweaters that you'd be proud of. Some of you like cookies. Others of you like pie. Some of you like LSU. Others of you like Ohio State. Some of you like the Vikings. Some of you like the Packers. You pick sides. Some of you like Die Hard as a Christmas movie, and others of you know it's not. You pick sides. Allow me to share with you a very simple picture or definition of repentance and turning. Because if the call to prepare for Christmas, and therefore to prepare for Christ, is to turn, to repent, what does that look like? And very simply, I would say to you this. It is siding with God and how he sees who you really are. And then siding with him and his provision through Christ to make all things new in your heart. That is repentance. Is to pick God's side. And to see yourself the way he sees you. and to see how he's going to make all things new in your heart, your soul, your spirit, your life through his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. If you want to prepare for Christmas, you side with God and see yourself the way he sees you and take hold of what he has provided through Jesus Christ. Then, this season, you will be prepared. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much. Thank you so very much for this Jesus, prophesied by this prophet, John the Baptist, this one raised up who, like Elijah, was called to turn the hearts of the people toward the one that you would provide, Jesus. Lord, we want to be prepared for Christmas. We want to be prepared for Christ. And it begins, O God of heaven, as we get on your side and see ourselves through your eyes and take hold of the provision of Jesus that you provide. May we turn toward you and side up next to you. O God, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. I love you, friends. Merry Christmas. Have a great week.